Hi everyone, Jim here again with another 7th edition playtest. This scenario is the one and only playtest we did for the second round of the 7th edition playtesting. This was recorded back in November of 2012, I think. Something like that. That sounds about right. We'll go with that. Anyway, hope you enjoy. It is just a little custom scenario I whipped up. It was intended to be part one of probably a two-part scenario, which we have never gotten around to finishing. So a little bit of a cliffhanger at the end. I hope that's not a problem for any. Usual disclaimer applies. This is a playtest of the 7th edition rules and how these rules that we played with relate to the forthcoming 7th edition release is anyone's guess. Enjoy.
Set it up so Tony will be around somewhere when he gets here. So
okay.
Okay, so the two of you don't know each other, by the way. Never met.
Good. I hate people.
So, Mr. Kerner, you are on your way to Amsterdam to play in a jazz festival in some random little town in Holland, wherever they might have some.
Okay.
Mr. Blythe, you are also on your way to Amsterdam for whatever reasons that a rich...
Do you really need to answer that question?
might find a reason to go, or two. Yeah, anyway, we won't go into details there. So the two of you are at the airport in Minneapolis, having flown there from Mr. Kerner, I believe, from Las Vegas, and Mr. Blythe from...
Whatever's convenient, it doesn't matter.
Tennessee or something.
Okay, fine.
And you're hanging out in the departure lounge waiting for the flight to Amsterdam. After a bit of a wait, you've been there for a couple hours, they finally call boarding. You get up, you get in line, you stumble through the line, you get on the plane. Presumably, Mr. Blythe, being rich, is flying in business class, and Mr. Kerner, being a poor musician, would normally be, flying in coach, but as he's been invited by the festival, they've gotten him a business class ticket, so he's also flying in business.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And I will order...
I'm very fussy, so I'll be really bothering the, stewards and stewardesses.
Yeah, and as soon as they are available, I will start asking for alcohol. We're gonna take all the advantages of flying here. So
yes, as soon as you sit down, they're right there. Can I bring you something to drink?
Oh yeah, I will start asking for vodka for sure.
That's not a problem. Not a problem. You notice along the someone else kind of jumps in and sits down on the seat on the aisle across from you. You don't really get a good look at them though. They just kind of very quickly pull a blanket over themselves and conk out.
The quantum PC. Yes.
Yes. Exactly. If Tony ever shows up. Then he'll wake up and Mr. Kerner will recognize him. But
definitely done. Definitely done, sir.
For the moment. So you guys are sitting there for a while as the rest of the plane is boarding. Checking your watches every once in a while. It's getting close to time, close to departure time. Kind of notice it actually is departure time. And there's a bong as the PA comes on and the voice of the captain comes on and announces, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Captain Carter here. We apologize for the delay. We're just loading some last-minute cargo and making some updates to the flight plan. There's a bit of a storm out the Atlantic, as I'm sure you're probably aware, and we're just going to have to route a little further north than we normally would to get around it. But we don't expect any problems, and we should be on our way in another 5 or 10 minutes.
Look a little nervous.
So time passes. after a few more minutes, they close the door to the plane. You know, they say, everyone, please take your seats. We're getting ready to go. Start to push back from the gate. The usual kind of takeoff thing. Nothing exciting, you know. Plane gets in plane taxis to the runway. A few more minutes sitting. Plane takes off, bouncing a little bit. No big deal. Plane's in the air, you're flying. A minute later, they come on and say, you know, we're now over 10,000 feet. You can use all your approved electronic devices. They ramble on about the, you know, details of the flight. It's going to be so and it's going to be such and such long and
boring.
Yeah. Well, you are in business class, so you do have an entertainment center.
Yeah. I'll start bugging whoever's sitting next to me about why they should jailbreak all of their, you know, devices and show them, you know, all the cool stuff that mine does that theirs doesn't.
That would be Mr. Kerner sitting next to you, so.
Yeah.
You're welcome to disturb him as much as you want to.
Yes, very good. So, obviously this flight's going to take a long time. What time are we leaving?
You are leaving.
What time of day is it?
It is 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, I'll go to sleep. I'll take some, some type of sleep aid and go to sleep.
Okay.
Unless that would be inconvenient for your plot, Jim.
No, that's fine. Sleep right away. That's even better.
I'd rather keep drinking a little bit more. So I'm going to start playing a movie. Earplugs, just to, you know. And while I'm drinking and watching the movie, I'm looking around, you know, curious about the people that usually travels in first class.
Okay. Well, you see, you know, all sorts of people. There's younger people, there's older people, there's, you know, some are nicely dressed, some less so. It's looks like a pretty typical selection of humanity. You know, it's not, you know, if you were expecting everyone to be in, you know, suits and formal wear, that's certainly not, that's not what you're seeing.
Okay.
The guy in the seat next to you just rolls over and, you know, stretches his seat all the way flat and conks out.
Is Dave sitting right next to me?
Yes.
Oh, so you were talking to me, Dave. I didn't catch that one.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Sorry about that.
I've been bothering you a bit.
Yeah. I was paying attention, you know. I was, oh, interesting. Yes, I should. Why not?
So, after about 20 minutes, they bring, they start serving dinner. Mr. Blythe is probably asleep by now. So they just skip him over. After about 30 minutes, the captain comes back, the PA sounds again, the captain comes on, says, apologies, ladies and gentlemen, but the storm in the Atlantic is strengthening a little bit. We're going to have to chart our course a little further north. Shouldn't be any problem. At this point, we expect, however, to be about 30 minutes late getting into Amsterdam. But we'll keep you apprised as the as things go along. Mr. Blythe, would you make a listen roll?
I'm sorry?
Would you make a listen roll, please?
Listen, okay.
Yes.
What is my listen? Oh, no.
Okay. No, that doesn't wake you up. You're still asleep. So the flight continues. After about another 30 minutes or so we're a little over an hour into the flight, it starts getting bumpy. There's a little bit of turbulence. Mr. Blythe, would you make a POW roll? Yes, a POW roll.
Okay. All right. Yes, I succeed on that.
Okay. The turbulence, however, does not wake you up.
Oh, well, very good.
Mr. Kerner, would you make a sand roll, please?
Which roll?
Sanity.
Oh. I pass 09.
Yeah, turbulence is no big deal.
Okay.
Just a little bumpy, a little choppy, you know.
Perfectly safe.
Yes. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about whatsoever. As a little more time passes, however, the turbulence, you know, starts getting heavier and heavier. And not too long later, the captain comes on once again and says, by now the fasten seatbelt sign has come on. You know, so they've said, you know, everyone take your seats, please, of course. But a little while later, the captain comes on and says, flight attendants, please take your seats, as the turbulence is getting really, really heavy.
Oh, this is bad.
And Mr. Blythe, would you make a difficult pal roll, please?
Maybe 8.
Yeah, I fail if I was making one.
Yeah, that was you. Okay, yeah. So yeah, the turbulence has woken you up at this point.
Ah!
So both of you make a sand roll.
I'm not terribly sane. I fail.
I failed.
Just 1 point of sand.
Okay.
The plane is bouncing and shaking around pretty good. Rattling and... You know, it's not at all comfortable.
This is heavy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty bad, really. But it's very safe, you know. They say that flight is the safest form of travel. That's what they say.
Yeah, I heard that. I look outside of the window. I'm pretty nervous at this point. I don't like it.
As you look out the window, make a spot hidden roll.
Okay. 49 out of 65, yep.
You can see there's kind of surrounding the plane. There's kind of a purplish glow. There's like a strange purple light in the air.
Look at that. I tell.
I'm Ollie. That is weird, I guess. I'm very tempted to, you know, start looking up information about purple glows on my phone, but...
I'll hold it. Well, as you check your phone, you see there's no internet connection. So.
Oh. Not even for me? Impossible.
How will you ever survive?
You're breaking a little bit, Jim.
Oh, sorry. Is this better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
It's like fading out, basically, is what's happening. Okay. What's happening. If there's a steward around, I will call her, you know. I don't know, because they were requested to...
Yeah, you can call them, but they're not coming, because the turbulence is very heavy now.
Okay.
In fact, it's getting so heavy that, you know, there's... You know, you can hear, you know, the people around you are muttering and... You know, what's going on? I've never been in anything like this. This is, I'm so, you know.
Yeah.
Children are crying and, you know, that sort of thing. Yes. Additional sound effects here.
I probably have a little bag sitting on my lap.
A bag of what?
I have a conch 6, so, you know, I'm probably...
Okay. I was not wondering very what kind of bag sturdy. You had. as you're looking out the window, you can see the glow in the sky, the air around the plane is strengthening. It's becoming brighter and a bit darker. You hear a loud kind of cracking sound.
Mm-hmm.
And then the plane just drops out from under you.
Scream.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Yes. I'll hold tight to my seat, though.
Scream. Yes. Just about everyone on the plane is, right. Sand rolls, please.
Well, apparently this doesn't bother me at all.
Fail again.
So, Mr. Blythe, you passed?
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be 1 point.
All
and
right.
Mr. Kerner, you failed?
Yeah, I failed.
Make it a D3.
I would think this should be an automatic sand loss of a large value.
Rock solid. Plane falling out of the sky.
That's right.
No big deal. Happens every day.
Yeah. I'm still writing notes, you know, my to-do list.
So you can feel, you know, like being on a roller coaster, right? You can feel your body is lighter. You know, you can tell the plane is just dropping way too fast. The PA bings in somebody's voice. It doesn't sound like the captain. You know, maybe one of the attendants, whatever. Everyone, please assume crash positions.
Oh, now I wish I was paying attention to the video.
And as you look around, you can see there are some people who are kind of looking around, like Mr. Kerner, with, you know, wide eyes. What's going on? What do I do? And you can see other people who are just, you know, who put their heads down, reach their arms around their legs, grab on.
Yeah, well, assume crash position.
Yeah, I will turn around. What do I do? What do I do?
And then I don't know, man. I don't know.
I'll just do as Blythe is doing.
Yeah. Freaking out, probably. Actually, I'm as cool, as collected as you could be under the circumstances. This is a cool way to die. You have to admit that, I mean.
Might as well be something exciting, huh?
Yeah.
I wanted to go to Amsterdam.
So this goes on for what seems like just forever. You know, the plane is bouncing and shaking, and you can feel it falling, and there's just, you know, people are screaming, and, you know, the plane is groaning and creaking, and just noise and vibration, and suddenly all the lights go off. The entire plane is dark.
Oh, that's probably a good thing.
And you can see, you know, the purple glow outside is gone, and it's just dark. And then an instant later, you know, the roar of the engines and everything is just gone. Like, the entire plane is just shut down.
Are the masks hanging around still?
They have not dropped, no.
Oh, they haven't.
Oh. No. So you never did, you never lost, you haven't lost cabin pressure.
Okay.
And then a moment after that, you feel, you can feel the nose of the plane kind of come up, and then a moment after that, there's just a huge, massive jolt. As you can feel the plane slam into something.
Yeah, I'm screaming all the way.
And it starts vibrating again. And you can feel it starts kind of sliding sideways, and it's vibrating, and people are screaming, and there's a, you know, there's a huge roar as the plane is sliding along something, and then it kind of lurches, and shudders, and comes to a stop.
Hey, we're alive. We're alive. is the plane still oriented, you know, horizontally? And
yes.
Well, I'm going to unbuckle my seatbelt and get up and start hugging everybody. We're alive!
Yeah, I will hug Mr. Blythe, and after that I will look outside the window again.
As you look outside the window, you can just see it's dark. You see darkness.
Are we on the The ocean? Look outside. There's nothing there.
Okay. Well, what do we see? a giant void?
No, you can see darkness. It's just really dark. You know, you can tell you're not on the ocean because you're not, you know, you don't have that kind of bobbing feeling. It feels like, you know, wherever you are is definitely solid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but as you look out, it looks just like a really, really dark night. You know, you can't see any stars in the sky. You don't see a moon. There's no other, you know, kind of external light. So it's, you can kind of get the idea that, you know, there's, you know, you're on just some kind of, you know, plateau or sheet of something, or, you know, that there is land out there. You know, it's not just a expansive black void in all directions.
How long had we been, well, I guess I was asleep, so I wouldn't know how long we had been traveling, so.
About an hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that. So as you guys are hugging each other and celebrating and whatever else, you hear a piercing scream coming from the back of the plane. And at the same time, you can hear there's a loud kind of crunching and tearing sound, like the sound of metal being torn.
Oh, that's strange. All right.
And then there's a number of additional screams that immediately follow it.
Okay, I will go to the, you know, to the small door that separates first class from the rest of humanity and see what is happening.
The rest.
Well, it's not a door; it's just a curtain. So
yeah, the curtain.
Pull the curtain about, and you can pull the curtain back. And as you look back there. First of all, you can see towards the front of the plane that there are a couple people trying to get the emergency exit that's forward of you open and get the slide deployed. And
yeah, I want to help them or at least tell them what to do at any rate.
As you look back, you can see the coach section is in a complete mess. Right there. You know, there's just so many people in such a small space, and you know, they're, you know, half of them are trying to run this way, and half of them are trying to run that way, and it's just complete chaos, right? But way towards all the way at the back of the plane, you can see that it looks like a hole has been torn open in the back floor of the plane, and you can see something climbing up out of it.
Oh man, we need to get off the plane.
And the something is worth a sand roll, first of all.
Ah,
all right. No, I don't deal well with some things.
No,
way too creepy.
D10.
D what?
10.
Wow. Oh.
10. I don't do anything halfway, you know.
This is the end of the adventure,
Dave.
Short and sweet.
The hell.
So now I've lost 12 sanity already in this game.
Oh man, come on. Chili.
A little harsh.
It's okay. That's going to be a temporary insanity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that's not more than a fifth of your points. Have you lost more than a fifth of your points yet?
Yeah, because I only had 50 to begin with, yeah.
Okay, so never mind, that's indefinite. This is going to be fun. there is, throw me, let's see, let's make it, give me a D10.
All right, 6.
Awesome, you faint.
Good. It could have been a lot worse.
Mr. Blade, we need to get off the plane. Oh, when I see him faint, I will just grab him and try to, you know, grab him towards the nearest exit. What is it, okay, by the way?
I was gonna get to that.
You really want to answer that anti question to be answered? I don't know.
If I may quote Mr. Lovecraft, the thing is gigantic and blasphemous, not holy ape and not holy insect. Its hide hangs loosely upon its frame. Its rugged, dead-eyed rudiment of a head sways drunkenly from side to side. Its forepaws are extended, talons are spread wide, and its whole body is taut with murderous malignity. Despite its utter lack of facial description. And you can see it's just tearing into the people in the back of the plane.
So it's not friendly, I guess.
And, you know, as more and more people see it coming towards him, you can see, you know, more people screaming, more people fainting. But it's just ripping people apart, you know, just grabbing them, tearing them apart, limb from limb. You know, blood is splurting everywhere. And it's making its way through to the front of the plane. As soon as Mr. Blythe and Mr. Kerner, when you see it, and Mr. Blythe faints dead away, when you see it, Mr. Kerner, you can see it noticing that you see it.
Oh no!
And if this was a movie, you would get that sudden kind of foreshortening effect as it looks directly into your eyes.
Kill it, Randall.
Pauses for a second and then starts tearing through the plane and the people coming after you.
Oh no! I will drop Mr. Blythe.
And I will start running.
I will start running backwards towards the because let's see, where's the nearest exit? Can I get there on time?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so in that case, I will keep grabbing Mr. Blythe.
Okay.
But the moment the thing is, you know, getting closer, I will have to save me, of course, and leave Mr. Blythe to his. Who's luck?
I would not realize that I'm rich.
Clearly, I'm more important than you.
Well, it is moving kind of slowly. It's
all right. So I'm going to head towards the nearest exit for sure.
A lot of seats. You know, you can't just amble up the aisle. You and Mr. Blythe are able to make it to the exit. Probably shove your way past a couple of people. You know, you throw Mr. Blythe down the slide, you hop down the slide yourself. As you come out of the plane, you can see that the plane has landed on, you know, something. The ground beneath you feels pretty hard. As you kind of look around, it looks fairly flat, kind of wide open. You know, you don't really see, you know, there's basically nearly no light to see by, but you don't really get the idea of any, you know, mountains or trees or anything like that off in the distance. But there's a small group of people gathered around the plane, those that have already gotten out.
Yeah, I'll get towards them. What do we do?
Am I still unconscious?
Give me a power roll.
Against base pal?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, then yes you are.
First I was asleep, now I'm unconscious.
It's an exciting scenario for me.
Yeah, it is.
Gonna sleep through the whole thing.
This could be a whole new strategy in role-playing games, you know.
Steep and faint, yeah.
It worked for the Victorians.
Some of the other people look at you, what's going on in there? What's all that screaming?
We need to get the hell out of here. There's a monster in there.
Monster? What are you talking about?
Oh, if you want to go and see, feel free. I'm leaving.
Okay.
I look around. What exactly, is there like a path or anything that I can identify here, or is it just pitch black?
Make a spot hidden roll.
Okay. I pass.
It is, very nearly pitch black. You can see enough to see that the sky is completely overcast. So there's no stars, there's no moon, there's no light coming from the plane. You can't really see any terrain. There's no you can't see any trees, you can't see any mountains in the distance. You can tell that the ground around you is mostly dirt. There are some little scrub bushes, that sort of thing. But you can see a low kind of hill off to the distance in one particular direction, which is really kind of the only feature that you can see.
Okay, look, there's a hill. Let's head over there.
And the rest of them kind of look at you and say, what are you talking about? We need to stay by the plane for when the rescuers get here.
No, there's the Mothman. I will call him the Mothman.
At that point,
conspiracy fan.
There's more people who are tumbling out of the plane, kind of screaming and monster, monster. And those the first ones out of the plane are like looking around, going, what's going on here? But as
to the heel, and I will start dragging again, Mr. Blythe. Somebody help me!
Yes, what? Help him.
What is your move, Mr. Kerner?
Oh, it's one of the things that I didn't migrate. But what's it? How did I? Is that something I need to roll?
Hang on, let me find it.
It's a function of your strength, dex, and size, yes. Right?
Okay. So the question is, there is. Your strength, dex, and size. If both your dex and your strength are greater than your size,
if they are,
then you have a move of 50.
50, okay.
5-0. You are fast.
Yeah. All right.
And how old are you?
Do you want me to roll?
No, how old is Mr. Kerner?
How old?
Yeah.
He was 32, if okay. I remember correctly.
Yeah, then there's no modification. Okay, just as you start to head towards the rise that you can see, you hear just a horrible rending sound, and you kind of look back, and you can see the creature tearing a hole in the side of the plane.
Mm. Did someone help me?
No.
Oh. Yeah. So I'm dragging Mr. Bytha along.
At that point, everyone else who's out there, looks up, sees these claws emerging from the side of the plane, and just that fingernails on chalkboard sound as they drag through the aluminum skin. And half of them just kind of faint dead away, and the other half just scream in panic and go running in all directions.
Good sound effect.
Yeah.
My ears are now bleeding.
That was my son.
He's providing the sound effects.
Your own little soundboard, Jim. Very good.
He's into making noise, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I will, if there's a place where I can hide, which I really doubt so, I'll do it. But I will keep looking for a place to hide, and if not, try to move towards that hill.
Okay. Yeah, there isn't anywhere that you're going to be able to hide. As you make a break for it. Mr. Blythe, would you make another power roll, please?
Yeah, I succeed this time around.
Okay, good. Mr. Blythe, you know, as you're kind of dragging him along, wakes up.
Yeah. Don't look back. Don't look back. Just keep running. Let's go.
Don't look back at what? I look back.
And you see the same thing you saw earlier emerging from the side of the plane, having torn a hole in it. You know, there's blood dripping out of the hole as, you know, it's killed. How?
Why did you tell me not to look back? You know.
Just run and be quiet.
What is your move, Mr. Blythe?
Give me a second. Let me think. My strength. Oh yeah, mine should be 52.
Okay,
we're both really fast. I guess my con of 30 doesn't enter into that, so I just can't run for very long. But I can run fast.
Well, it does enter into it, right? Because in a chase, you have to make a con roll.
Yeah.
The difference being that now the failed con rolls reduce your move.
Okay. I didn't read that. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so as you break for the hill, the creature kind of leaps down. You have a head start on it. Obviously, you're further. So, hang on. Let me make some notes here. Let's see.
Oh, it's following us.
Yes, I wonder why. Some dice.
Clearly, Randall is a cultist.
Well, I had an encounter with some ghouls. Tried to burn them alive. Surely, that's what happens to heroes like me.
Didn't you listen to Tina Turner? We don't need another hero.
What is your guys' dex, Mr. Blythe?
That's bad.
65.
40.
And these guys are 'Mr. Blythe, you get to move first.
All right. Well, I'm running.
Fair enough. Con roll.
All right. No.
35, I pass.
Just Mr. Blythe.
Yeah, I'm not going to make any con rolls.
You can pocket that con roll, Mr. Kerner. We'll get to you in a second.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mr. Blythe, you failed your con roll?
Yeah.
Okay. So for the next... okay. Right now your move is 50. So you hang on. I'm trying to figure out the best way to take the notes here. Okay.
You're fading again, Jim.
Sorry, that's because I was mumbling. I was mumbling to myself. Okay. So
speak up, man. This is important.
Yes. So let me just kind of explain the way that I'm doing this. So there's a certain distance to go to reach the hill, right? Which is 500 yards. So in Mr. Bly's first round, he's made it 50 of those, so he has 450 to go.
Okay.
You failed your con roll, so for the next round, So your move rate is reduced by 10. Right. So okay, the next round you'll only move 40. All right. The way the rules work, if your move gets to zero, then you have to rest. You cannot move at all. Okay. Mm-hmm. Every round, every single round that you do rest, you get 5 move points back.
Okay.
Okay. You can move at half of your current move without making a con roll.
Okay.
Okay. So if you only want to move half, you know, then you only make half your con roll. And the creature is a ways behind you, not a long ways, but a ways. So it has a little bit further to go. And it will go next, so it is chasing after you. So it is now at this far. I'm almost embarrassed to have to make a con roll for it, which it easily passes, so that's not a problem. And clearly if the creature catches up to, you know, gets to the same place then as either of you are, then it will be attacking. So, Mr. Kerner.
Okay.
I presume you're just running.
Yeah, keep running.
Okay. So you and Mr. Blythe are in the same, you know, are keeping abreast of each other. And you made your con roll, so you're good there. So we're back to the top of the order. Mr. Blythe?
Yep. No.
You failed your con roll?
Yeah.
Again? Okay. So your move was 40, so you are now 410 yards from the hill. Mm-hmm. And you failed your con roll, so your move is now 30. The monster goes. It is now at 470.
I'm so glad Dave is here to fail.
I have a bad feeling about this.
And my dice just rolled halfway across the room. Pick another one. Yeah, it makes its con roll. Not really worried about that. Mr. Kerner, you run some more.
Sir, okay. Yeah, I keep running.
Yeah,
con roll?
Yes.
Okay. And this time I failed. Okay. So I guess I go down to 40,
so
you said?
So your move is now 40, yes.
Okay.
But you have pulled ahead of Mr. Blythe, right?
Right.
Damn you!
So,
hurry up, man! Hurry up!
With all your physical fitness and cross-training shoes and...
So, Mr. Kerner is 400 yards from the hill. Mr. Blythe is 410 yards. And the creature is... you have opened up distance on the creature. You're... it's further away from you than it was from the beginning, because your guys' move was higher than it. So third round, I need you to make a dex roll, Mr. Blythe.
Alright. Yeah, I succeed on that one.
Okay. As you're running along, you know, you see there's some, you know, what look like kind of like gopher holes, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. In the tundra. But, you know, they don't trip you up at all. You're easily able to evade them. So you make your 30 yards, so you are at 380 from the hill. Make your con roll, sir.
No.
Really? Okay, so your move is down to 20.
I think I'm going to have to stop and make my last stand here.
with your jailbreak.
That's right.
Jailbreak iPhone.
let's see. It is at 470. Its move is this. Okay. It makes its con roll. So it is now 130. Okay. It's still, you know, it's not really gaining ground on you yet. Go ahead, Mr. Kerner. Would you make a dex roll, please?
Okay. 0-3.
Oh. Yes. you bypass those gopher holes with no problem as well. Make your con roll.
I failed.
Okay. So your move is down to 30 as well.
Oh, no. Hold on. I passed just 55 out of 55.
Okay. So your move is still at 40. Okay, yeah. So you've opened up 20 yards on Mr. Blythe. So Mr. Blythe is 380 yards from the hill. Mr. Kerner is 360. Anything shambling after you is still a ways behind.
Don't leave me, man!
Hurry up! I yell at distance now.
Okay, next round, Mr. Blythe.
This is all
your fault.
Yeah, exactly. That I'm getting suspicious, you know, about this Mr. Blythe. Where is the creature following him? Not us, him in specific.
Are you going to keep running, or are you going to rest?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess I don't really have a lot of choice, so.
Yeah, you do. This is an interesting question as to whether or not you would actually be able to notice this, but in this case, since we're just playtesting and who knows, I'll give this to you. The creature, there's no way that the creature, you know, kind of based on your, you know, expert observations of how fast it's moving and how far away it is, there's no way that the creature is going to reach you in one round, even if you don't move at all.
Okay.
Right. So I'm just saying, you know, if you wanted to rest for a round to get those, you know, that big five move points back.
Yeah. Okay. I'll stop for a minute, and as I'm resting, I'll look around for anything that I might be able to use as a weapon.
Okay.
Ineffectively, obviously, but still.
So you're still 380, but your move now goes up to 25.
Still slower than anyone else, so it's kind of a moot point.
Okay. Make a spot hidden roll.
Yes.
There's some rocks on the ground, but that's about it.
Well, better than nothing. Probably not, but still. I'll grab a rock.
The thing coming after you roars and closes in on you. 03 makes its con roll with no problem. It is now 10 yards away from Mr. Blythe.
Wow.
Mr. Kerner?
Yeah, I hesitate for a second, but when I see the creature, you know, getting close to him, I just keep running towards the hill again.
Okay. So
that's an Oricom.
320. Yeah, Conroll.
Okay. Oh, hold on. Let me reroll that. Oh, 07. Yeah.
Move is still at 40. all those years in the nightclubs. Smoking and drinking.
Yeah.
Have not taken their toll. Strong lungs. Okay, so at the end of that round, Mr. Kerner is 320 yards away from the hill. Mr. Blythe is 380 yards away from the hill. And the creature is another 10 yards behind Mr. Blythe. So, Mr. Blythe.
I just keep yelling, "Run, Blythe! Run!" From the distance.
I'm running
now.
Okay. So, let's see. That would be 360, 355. Conroll?
No.
Oh, Dave.
My con was only 30 to begin with. What do you expect?
Your move is down to 15. Okay, the creature has caught up to you. Okay. The creature is caught up to you. It will be able to attack you in the next... It will be attacking you in the next round.
Well, I prepare to gamely defend myself.
Mr. Kerner. So you look back over your shoulder, you can see that the creature has caught up to Mr. Blythe and is about to do bad stuff.
I wasn't a very good person, so I probably deserve this.
So, let me recap, Jim. The creature catch up with Dave?
Yep.
I'll stop there for a second to see what happens.
You're just going to stop? Stop and watch?
You should make a video with your phone.
Yeah. I'll look around and... Well, when I see that the creature is grabbing Mr. Blythe, then I'll check my head and keep running towards the hill.
Okay. Well, that counts as a rest, so your move goes back up to 45.
Okay.
Next round. Mr. Blythe, the creature is on top of you.
Okay. Well, it's bigger than me, I assume.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I'll hit it with a rock.
It is it is size 19.
Oh, yeah, it's quite a bit bigger. Although I'm not small. Yeah, I'll hit it with a rock.
Sorry, that's old. Sorry. It is size 95.
Oh, well, then it's a little bigger than me. I'll just close my eyes.
Are you throwing a rock at it?
Or
are you
no, it's it with utterly rock? Futile. I'll just close my eyes and think of something, you know, serene. This obviously can't be happening, so, you know, I'll wake up in a moment, so.
Okay. Mr. Kerner, as Mr. Blythe closes his eyes, you can see the monster hardly breaks stride. But takes the back of one hand and smacks Mr. Kerner or Mr. Blythe in the head for 4 points of damage.
Only 4 damage in a size 95. Okay, well, I'm not complaining. That's good.
Mr. Blythe, make a dex roll.
Okay, yeah.
Make a hard dex roll. Sorry.
Oh, hard roll? No, I fail.
Okay. The creature basically smacked you with the back of its hand.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of get the feeling, you know, that it was really just kind of shoving you out of the way.
Yeah.
However, it's a pretty hard shove, so you do kind of stumble and fall to your knees.
I'm okay with that.
And Mr. Kerner, you can see the thing is still coming after you.
Oh no! So it was me after all. Damn it! Yeah, I will keep running towards the hill.
Okay. Serve you right.
Okay, so you are able to run in this round, so you are at 75.
I failed.
You failed your con roll, so your move is down to 30.
35, yeah.
35, yes. Sorry. Okay. Could you stop to do that? So that's good. Okay. Mr. Blythe.
Yep. Well, it's running. Okay, so it's... I'm going to turn around and run the other direction.
Okay, fair enough. Sensible plan, I imagine. So you're running
forward.
Back towards the plane?
If that is, in fact, the other direction. I mean, I don't know if I've oriented myself in a way that I really know where I'm going, but I want to run it directly away from it. So.
Yeah, you can see the outline of the plane. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
You know, you're what, 250... 245 yards away from it. So it's,
yeah. So unless there's some other obvious piece of cover,
145
I'll go back,
yards.
Back to the plane.
Okay. Are you running or walking?
I'm probably stumbling. I'm trying to run, but, you know, I'm not
strolling,
very good at that.
casually strolling back towards the plane.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing to see here.
Okay. Does a casual stroll count as a rest? That's a good question. I'm going to say it does. I think it should. So I'm going to say your move goes back up to 20.
I'm deliberately not looking back. I don't want to know what's happening.
Okay.
I didn't know that guy anyway.
The monster makes its con roll, so it is now at this distance. Mr. Kerner?
Yes, sir?
The monster is breathing down your neck, as it were.
No.
Are you running still?
Yeah, I will try to make it to the heel.
Okay.
I pass.
Okay.
35 still. So.
So you can. So the thing is getting closer to you. You know, at your relative speeds, it's basically. You know, if you were to stop for a round, it would be on top of you, that round, right?
Okay.
So it's getting pretty close. Mr. Blythe.
Yep.
As you're walking back towards the plane, you know, you can just kind of see it kind of silhouetted in the distance. Well, not that big a distance, as we said, what, 145 yards away. You hear, however, a cracking sound. Mm-hmm. And the ground starts shaking like there's an earthquake. Right? Not a big earthquake, just a little one. Just kind of the ground starts shaking. Make a dex roll.
Yes.
Okay. But you're able to keep your feet. Very nimble. No problem. However, you can see the plane start. It looks like, you know, you can just kind of see the shadows and outlines, but it looks like the plane is sinking into the ground.
What? Okay. Well, then I'm going to turn so that I'm moving at a tangent. perpendicular to the line drawn between the plane and the monster. And look for some type of cover that isn't, in fact, sinking into the ground. I'm not terribly picky.
Okay, fair enough. You still don't see anything. I mean, there's nothing else on the horizon. There's, you know, the ground is pretty bare.
Well, I'll pick up the pace as best I can, and I'll run until I run out of stamina. Then I'll walk for a bit and run and so okay. forth.
You're gonna make me do math here, okay?
It is inconvenient to have to check every round. I think that's a lot of bookkeeping. If it were maybe every several rounds, it would be more practical. But anyway.
And you're running perpendicular, so let's see. That's the tangent of...
That's right.
Breaking out the trigonometry here to figure out where the
Never
hell you
mind.
Are.
It's a one-shot anyway. I can't leave my new friend behind. I'll turn around and deliberately stomp in the direction of the monster. I have found a new resolve deep in my soul. And clearly I'm living on borrowed time anyway, so this is all good.
Mr. Kerner.
Yes, sir?
Are you running, I presume?
Yeah, how far am I from the hill at this point?
240 yards.
And I move at the... 35 phase speed, right?
Yep.
Okay, so I still got a lot of running to do. How close is the creature now?
The creature is 270 yards from the. It is 30 yards from you.
Yeah, I'm still trying to make it. I don't have anything else on my mind, so the other thing is to stand here and face the creature. Let's see if I pass this roll. And that's an 81. So I, you know, I failed my con roll, so I will just feel tired, and I just turn around, fall on my knees, and sit there on the ground.
Okay, that'll be the next round.
Right? Okay.
So this round, you were still able to make your 35 yards, but then at the end of that round is when you ran out of breath. So.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Blythe, you see, having turned around with new resolve, you see Mr. Kerner fall to his knees.
Ah, clearly he's worshiping this dreadful thing. well, Yeah, so I'm stomping back with a determined look on my face and looking for something to pick up. Perhaps better than a rock.
Okay. You see the monster close in on Mr. Kerner. And Mr. Kerner, if your eyes are open, you can see it standing above you.
Yeah. I will grab whatever I have around me, rocks or sticks or anything, and throw it at the creature. Come on, you abomination!
Okay. Yeah, you can find a rock. Make a throw roll.
Okay. 0-6.
What's the damage for a small stone? Like 1 point, perhaps?
Like half a point.
Yeah, it just bounces off the... yeah, that skin looks pretty thick and armory. So so it just kind of bounces off. The creature leans down and just roars in your face. Make another sand roll, please.
20. I pass. I will die with dignity.
2 points. And as Mr. Blythe is slowly closing in, you're seeing this too, obviously. The creature kind of stands up, towering above you, and then there's this purple glow kind of starts to envelop the creature, and it fades away and disappears.
Oh, that's weird.
And I will ask you both to make a sand roll. Horrible shambling monsters are one thing, but when they just disappear in a purple haze,
I mean... I failed.
And I also failed.
Yeah, 1 point.
Okay. I'm 32, I started with 40, so I'm still good.
Okay.
I defeated the beast. A Jill.
Good job.
The mighty rock did it.
Okay, what the hell was that thing?
The hell do I know?
You seem to be kind of lovey-dovey with it there at the end.
Yeah, we'll start walking, kind of walking towards Mr. Blythe. What do we do now? Let's go to the hill.
Oh, yeah, by the way, the plane is... gone.
Gone?
Yeah, there must have been quicksand or a sinkhole or something, because it's gone. Things just keep getting better.
Are there any other survivors around?
You go look. I don't care to do that.
Wait for me here, then. I will go with I guess I will have my cell phone on my pocket, so I'm gonna turn it on and get the flashlight going.
Okay. There's no signal, in case you were wondering.
Yeah, I was wondering as well, but I thought so. Yeah. So.
Yep, there's no signal.
And so I will keep it on airplane mode.
Okay.
Flight mode, and to save some battery, but I will use the flashlight to signal people. Hello? Is someone there?
As you call out, you can hear the wind kind of blowing gently around you, but there's no other sound. Mr. Blythe's shuffling footsteps behind you, but
this is bad.
You
this
think?
Is bad, man. This is bad. Let's go to that hill and see what's on the other side.
Sounds well as good a plan as any. Yeah, go to Amsterdam, my friend said. Amsterdam is beautiful, they said. I could be playing World of Warcraft right now.
Be quiet. Those creatures could be around here still. I don't believe so, but I want it to be quiet.
You're not the first person who's wanted me to be quiet. Okay, although so you we'll may well be the last. yeah, so we're going in that direction, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So as you're wandering... sorry, just a second. Okay. Yeah, so as you're wandering towards the hill, you know, it doesn't take you that long. You were, you know, only a few hundred yards away. As you get closer, you can see that, you know, it's just a low hill. You know, nothing terribly exciting about it. But it is, you know, in the darkness, it's really the only thing you can see on this plain. You know, in every other direction, you know, you don't see anything silhouetted against the sky, just this one hill.
Well, here we are. By the way, my phone's not working. You have a phone? What am I saying? If my phone's not working, then yours obviously couldn't possibly.
Yeah, I don't have a signal, so yeah. I guess we'll have to spend here tonight.
Do you have any idea where we are? I mean, how long have we been on the plane? I was asleep, so I don't...
No more than a couple of hours.
Well, where would that put us? We were going west, leaving from, you said, Minneapolis, right?
Yep.
I do a little mental, arithmetic. Do I have any idea where we should be?
Somewhere over eastern Canada.
All right. Well, the climate's not right for Canada, is it? I mean, this place seems kind of surreal anyway. Does it have any landscape features?
Other than the hill? No. And yes, your question about the climate is, you know, it is, you know, late October. So you would expect this part of Canada, this far north, to be a lot colder. And, you know, probably snowy and...
That's a good point.
I think we're in, you know, I read some sources like this. I think we're in another dimension. Maybe we're dead.
I do consider that dead option, actually.
Although if we're dead, you know, I don't know what happened to all those other people. Maybe they're, like, really dead, and we're just sort of dead.
Or maybe...
Limbo! This is limbo! We have to resolve our personal issues of faith before we can move on. Something like that.
Well, you know, it makes sense.
Parts,
maybe we died. We died in the storm and the plane crashed and we all died and we're here wondering, but why are you here with me? This is punishment. This is hell.
Well, you know, you're no supermodel yourself.
Make a spot hidden roll.
Yeah, I succeed.
As you are at the the base of this low hill, as you're looking up, you can see, you know, just barely silhouetted in the darkness. What looks like some kind of rock outcropping at the top of the hill.
Oh, well, that's something at least. We should go up there.
Yeah, we need to find a place to rest. Well,
yeah, I'm a little winded.
Okay. As you, you know, climb the hill, the hillside itself is the same kind of featureless terrain as the plain around you. You know, just some scrub brush. Some rocks, dirt, nothing exciting. As you get to the top of the hill, however, you can see that there is a small ring of stones, of standing stones. You know, the whole ring is not more than, you know, 2 meters across, right at the cap of the hill. And in the center of the ring is a round stone about a meter across that's flat on the ground.
Okay, does that mean anything to me?
Make a no roll.
Okay, so that's an intelligence time. What is the no roll?
Sorry, make an in roll.
Yeah, I succeed.
I forgot which game we're playing. Yeah, you know, you've seen in you know all your random browsings of the internet, you know, you've seen pictures of you know rings of standing stone throughout, you know, all over Northern Europe.
So yeah, I was wondering, is this like Stonehenge or something like that?
Yeah, maybe, although we couldn't have gotten that far. We weren't,
you know, not that big, not nearly that big. And they're just, you know, the standing stones are just like, you know, there's no caps. It's just a ring of vertically standing stones.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm at a loss. I don't know what to do. Any ideas?
I will get close to the flat stone, the floor. You know, light it with my flashlight and see if there are any stains of blood or something like that.
Not that you can see.
Stains of blood?
Yeah, this looks like, you know, those places where they sacrifice people in all cultures. What do you do for a living?
It's not important. Well, what do you do for a living? Are you like some kind of anthropologist or, you know, Indiana Jones sort of, you know, world globe-trotting adventurer person? Is this all your fault? You seem to know an awful lot about this stuff.
Well, I keep telling you, had an encounter with some creatures from the underground. But I've been reading a lot, and, you know, there are things that we don't, our human mind cannot comprehend. So, probably that's one of them. I don't know if I feel excited or terrified when I look around me.
Well, I know how I feel. Okay, there's got to be some way out of here. I mean,
I would say this,
we just pick a direction and start walking.
Okay, let's do that until, you know, we need to stop and rest. Then we'll get some sleep and see if there is morning in this place.
Okay, so you guys pick a direction and start walking? Is that the plan?
Since the direction is entirely arbitrary, well, I'll just, you know, pick the one in the opposite direction of where the monster was. So,
okay.
Unless you have a better idea, Randall.
No. Let's move away from.
By the way,
plane crashed.
I suppose under the circumstances, you should call me Ollie. What's your name?
You can call me Mr. Kerner.
Oh, I see. That's how it is. Okay, Mr. Turner.
Kerner, I said.
Kerner, okay.
Mainly because I don't recall my character's name.
You've had a stressful few minutes.
Let me look for my name, actually. You know.
Roel. 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 However the hell you pronounced
it. Roel, yes. Roel. That's what I was aiming for. Call me Roel.
All right. Roel. Okay. I don't suppose you got any food on you.
Of course
I slept
not.
Through the dinner service, I think.
I reach my pocket. I save the small cookie they give on the plane. Biscuit.
Yeah. Yay, it'll do.
Nice.
Take it out and share it with Oliver.
I got low blood sugar. I should probably eat all of this.
Okay, as you guys start walking, You walk for a ways. You know, after, you know, half an hour of walking, something like this, 45 minutes. You know, it has been, it is, you know, awfully late at night. It was a very exciting evening. You guys are both just, you know, exhausted.
Yeah. I need some rest. Let's,
you know, looking around, you still, you know, you don't see anything.
Let's try to sleep and then let's just keep moving, okay?
Yeah, agreed.
Would you both make power rolls, please?
Power roll.
Yeah.
Oh, I failed.
Okay.
By five.
Mr. Blythe, you're able to, you know, get some sleep on the hard open ground without any problem. Mr. Kerner, however, not so much. So you're going to be at a minus five to everything.
Oh, no.
Just from not sleeping well.
Okay.
So eventually, after a few hours, Mr. Blythe wakes up.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Kerner is...
All right, let's go. Go.
Really sleeping. It is still dark, however.
Oh. Well, for all we know, it's going to stay dark. If we're rested, it's just a big featureless plane, right?
Yes.
Oh.
I will check my cell phone to see how much time has passed then.
According to your cell phone, it is 7 o'clock in the morning.
Damn it, should be morning already.
I don't know, is this what 7 o'clock in the morning usually looks like? I'm not that familiar with it, that was a little joke. How you feeling? You look a little pale there, buddy.
Yeah, of course, I didn't get a lot of sleep, so, and we ran out of biscuits, so I don't know what are we going to do here. Are you sure the plane was gone completely?
Well, I mean, I didn't get a real good look at it, but it seemed like it was falling into a big hole. But I don't want to go back there anyway, man. That monster might come back. Anyway, if there had been more people, surely we would have seen him or heard him or something. We weren't that far away.
Yeah, I agree. Let's try to do some thinking here. You know, with what I have read on the internet about conspiracy theories and all that crap that Kerner loves to read... have I gotten into something connected with the, you know, a plane like this?
No.
I don't recall if I gained any Cthulhu mythos on my last encounter with the ghouls.
I don't think you did.
Come on, old man, let's go.
Yeah, what else? We just have to keep on walking, right?
Yeah, we should try to keep our morale up.
Right. Yeah, let's do that.
Well, what do you do for fun?
Yeah, I'll start whistling or something.
That's what you do for fun?
Come on, man. What else do you want me to do?
I don't know. Sorry, I'm a little freaked out.
Please don't come up with any weird ideas, okay? Just keep
not walking. Sure what you mean. I think this is the kind of time where ideas would seem to be quite fitting, but... whatever you say.
So as you continue walking, after about an hour, you can see the silhouette of a small hill off in the distance.
Look, another hill.
It's something.
Are you sure we're heading on the right direction and we're not going around the circles?
Well, I'm not, like, you know, skilled in woodcraft or anything like that. I mean, if this were World of Warcraft, you know, I could, you know, tell you exactly, you know, where we're going, but this is like the real world stuff. Well, actually, I guess it isn't, but you know what I mean. I don't know. If you're like some sort of woodsman, then you lead the way. Otherwise, shut up.
Let's go to the hill then. If nothing else. Nowhere else to go.
Okay. You know, another half hour of walking or so takes you to the base of another low hill.
Okay.
As you, you know, you look at it, it's the same, you know, it's the same kind of featureless scrub rock as everything else you've seen. As you're looking up towards the top, you can see what looks like some rock outcroppings at the top of the hill.
Oh, man. We're going around in circles.
Well, I don't have any ideas.
I will just stand on the flat rock in the middle and start yelling, "What do you want for that?"
Oh, are you climbing up the hill?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. As you are climbing up the hill, before you get there, okay. Make a spot hidden roll.
I fail,
Mr. Blythe.
Yeah, I fail as well.
Okay, never mind then. As you get to the top, you can see there's a ring of standing stones, about 2 meters across. It looks exactly like the one you've seen before. It looks so much exactly that you'd actually be willing to say it's the same one. However, when you look in the at the center where the round rock was, you can see that stone has been moved. It's been dragged off to the side, and in its place, you can see there's a hole that's just over. It's not a big hole. It's just about a meter wide. It's just about the size of the rock, and you can see a stairway leading down. And you can just make out a glow of a light, kind of a moving light that just kind of immediately puts you in the mind of, like someone carrying a flashlight or something.
Right.
Somewhere down those stairs.
Hey, somebody down there. Hey, you!
Quiet!
In the hole!
Quiet!
We've been looking for something for like all day, and now we find something you want. Hey, you! In the hole!
You hear a voice call up. You hear a voice coming up from you. Is there someone else from the plane up there?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Let's go down.
And you head down. You're going to head down the stairs?
Yeah, let's go down the stairs.
Okay. As you make your way down the stairs, you can see that it's a narrow path of rock cut stairs leading down. You go down about 20 stairs or so, and you can see a figure standing there holding a cell phone, using it as a flashlight.
Hey, who are you?
And he says, "Oh, sorry." And he, kind of turns the flashlight, out of your eyes so that you can see him. And you see the face of someone that you, Mr. Kerner, recognize. It's Mr. Erickson.
Oh, no, not you again.
And at that point, we will call it for now.
Okay.
All right. And we'll pick this up as when round 3 comes around. Hopefully we'll get Tony along.
I just realized something. I was still thinking in terms of 6th edition when you said size 95. It's a lot smaller than I envisioned. You said size 95. I was thinking about something the size of a mountain, not something that's, the size of Bigfoot. It's a little bit different.
Yeah, that's right.
So I kind of intentionally, obviously, kind of focused on the move mechanic there, the new chase with the specific move and so forth, and the con rolls. What'd you guys think of that?
Yeah, I like it.
I like it. I do think rolling every round is maybe a bit much, but I mean, I don't know what a better. It's a little too granular for me, but I. It's better. It's certainly better than the lack of any mechanic which existed before. I give it thumbs up.
Yeah, me too. Especially because if you're, for instance, if you're in a small room, and you want to get, for instance, to a door, and there's a creature following you, this is perfect, to measure exactly what is happening instead of just making a dex roll to see if you're fast enough to get it. To get to the door. This is more exciting. Like, distance here was kind of huge from where we were towards the hill. So that's what he took so many rounds.
Right.
But in a closer space, that's going to be a lot of, you know, much helpful, I think.
Yeah, and you could probably abstract it around so that, you know, you could, rather than having it to be in feet, you could use different units in the same mechanic, and that would resolve my problem with it.
Yeah, and even, you know, thinking about lock, I'd rather have it as a separate stat, just as we have the rest, away from power. And the reason for that, although, you know, Dave, what you said makes sense, I like it in that way because you can, although you may have a good power, you know, maybe you're this person who is not lucky at all, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. If it's going to be a separate stat, I mean, you could, I don't know if it should be on the same, you seem to roll luck an awful lot in Cthulhu games, so...
But if we were going to use it as a pool, that we didn't, you know, to boost our rolls, then it's going to start going down and down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of like it. Is this an adventure that you wrote, Jim?
Yes.
This is interesting. Yeah. I like it.
Well, hopefully it'll be more interesting once...
Actually, it's very little like it, but the flat featureless plane reminds me, there was in an April Fool's issue of an old Dragon magazine, there was this joke adventure to deal with extremely powerful characters, and they basically were teleported to this featureless plane with nothing to do and nowhere to go.
Nice.
Just wander forever. All right, so it was fun, guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
So next week we're back to Sans, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's good.
Take it easy.
Okay. Okay, thanks, you guys.
Bye, guys.